This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This is like the fourth time I'm attempting to record this story because I'm so pissed. Because this man right here so pisses me off. He looks like a lovely old gentleman, doesn't he? He's probably at the country club, maybe having breakfast somewhere, maybe just living his nice retired life after serving as a judge for many years. And while he was serving as a judge, he made a lot of poor decisions. And there are consequences to decisions, as all judges know. Well, Judge Dwight Moore, you're going to get to live with the choices, the consequences for your decisions that you have made in court. We're going to make sure everybody knows your name. We're going to make sure anybody that sees you out in public that knows about the story comes up to you, shakes your hand, or just says, hey, Judge Dwight Moore. Hey, what? How do I know you? Because I saw you. I saw you on a video. And the decision you made that enabled another child to die at the hands of an evil predatory monster that you said, second chance, my friend. Well, that blood's on your hand, my friend, Judge Dwight Moore. Now, in no way, shape, or form do I encourage any sort of violence or illegal activity or anything like that. No, I'm more of the public discourse type person. You see the person? Shout them out. Let everybody know. In public settings, maybe interrupt dinner, maybe brunch, breakfast, whatever. Just let folks know. Let him know that you know that you're not happy with that decision that he made. Verbally, that's all. This started as stories like this too often do. With a warning no one seemed to take seriously enough, including Judge Dwight Moore. Judge Dwight Moore. Look him up. Jake Haro was not an unknown quantity. He wasn't a mystery man hiding in the shadows. In fact, in the eyes of the law, he was a known danger, a man who had already left one baby so catastrophically injured that she would never walk, talk, or live anything close to a normal life again. That little girl was his daughter. And what he did to her should have ended any chance he ever had of being trusted again with a child. But it didn't. In 2018, Haro's first daughter, just 10 weeks old at the time, was rushed to the hospital with devastating injuries. The kind that don't come from an accident, the kind that come from someone deliberately hurting a baby. Fractured ribs, a skull fracture, brain damage, bruising, a broken leg. The child would go on to be diagnosed with cerebral palsy, forced to spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair where she is today. Doctors saw what they needed to see. Law enforcement stepped in. Charges were filed, but then came the delay game. Haro pushed off accountability for years until finally in 2023, 5 years after his daughter's injuries, he finally pled guilty to felony child cruelty. The evidence against him was overwhelming. So, this should be a do your job blindfolded, Judge Dwight Moore. This is not a hard one to make a decision on, but you chose the wrong path in this Choose Your Own Adventure book, which brings us to Choose This Adventure, calling your ass out. You'd think the next part of this story would go how it's supposed to, that a man who permanently disabled his own infant would be sent to prison, right? There'd be no second chances, no loopholes, no leniency. That's what we're relying on you to do, Judge Dwight Moore. Did you do that? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And I hope the rest of your retirement years are miserable because I hope people call your ass out everywhere you go when you leave your house. Go to the grocery store. Go to the coffee shop, go to the country club, go to the golf course, go wherever the hell you want to. I hope people are scoping your ass out and calling your ass out for the deplorable decision that you made. And I wonder how many other horrible decisions you've made too, but we certainly know this one is pretty damn bad. Because you gave the monster probation. Despite objections from the prosecution, who argued passionately that this was a prison case, plain and simple, the judge suspended Haro's 6-year sentence and gave him a chance to walk free. He had to attend parenting classes because God knows that's going to change things. He had to report to work release, but otherwise he pretty much got to live his life, go home, start over, stick his, you know, in other women and make more people. And he did, with a new partner, new baby, and a system that chose to believe he changed. In the months after his sentencing, Haro attended court-ordered counseling and parenting classes. On paper, he did everything right. He showed up. He nodded in the right places. He said all the correct buzzwords, positive reinforcement, logical consequences, self-awareness, blah, 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 blah. And the counselors bought it because basically they're getting paid next to nothing and they need to check a box that showed these assholes showed up. One of them wrote that Haro appeared polite and engaged. Oh, well, that's good to know after you just maimed your daughter. And it developed insight into his parenting style. Abusive hellmonger? They marked him low risk for future child abuse. Look, if you abused a kid, you're high risk for child abuse for the rest of your life. I don't give an F what the system says or thinks. If you have the audacity to do that in the first place, you're going to do it again. It's like a rapist. You're going to do it. You did it once. You'll probably do it again. If you kill somebody, good chances that's in your system. You're going to do it again. If it's in you, it's in you. If it's not, it's not. So after he maims his daughter and scars her for the rest of her life, they gave him a clean bill of health. No red flags, no warnings, just a recommendation to complete the program and move on. Meanwhile, Haro was building a new family. He and his wife, Rebecca, had a new baby boy, Emmanuel, and nobody stepped in to stop it. A lot of people don't even know they had a baby, to be completely honest. That's how lovely these human beings were. There was no system in place to say, wait, this man nearly killed a baby once. Maybe we shouldn't let him raise another. Oh, wait, there was, and that's him. That's Judge Dwight Moore, who could have stepped in and said, not again. No social worker flagged the risk. No judge preemptively restricted custody. Emmanuel was allowed to live under the roof of a man who had already proven that he was capable of doing this. All of this could have been prevented, though, had Judge Dwight Moore stopped him and put him in prison when he had the chance. I wasn't expecting Judge Dwight Moore to show up at his house going, are you being a good dad? No. You lock him away when you have the chance, Judge Dwight Moore, which you clearly did not do. Then the course of August of 2025, the worst happened again. Surprise, surprise. On August 14th, a 911 call came in from a parking lot in California. Rebecca Haro claimed her baby had been abducted, which, honest to God, in this case, had that child been abducted by someone who simply wanted a child, I mean, this is insane to say, but someone who wanted a child, that stole a child, that child probably would have had better odds of survival there than with you, because clearly it didn't work out with you, Rebecca. She told police she'd been changing Emmanuel's diaper in the back of her car when a stranger walked up, said hola, and hit her in the head. When she came to, the baby was gone. Well, that's the bullshit story. It was the kind of story that launches Amber Alerts, that sends helicopters into the sky and officers combing through bushes and dumpsters. And that's exactly what happened. There was no Amber Alert, though, because they started looking and investigators were suspicious at the start. Details did not add up. Rebecca's account didn't match the security footage. No witnesses had seen a man vehicle peeling out of the parking lot. And the stranger in the story, it was a ghost. It didn't happen. Within 24 hours, investigators began treating this case not as a kidnapping, but as something far worse. A cover-up that didn't have to happen if Judge Dwight Moore had simply said, you know what? You almost killed your first kid. We're putting you away for at least 6 years. Screw that up, didn't you, Judge Dwight Moore? Hate to see it if somebody sees you at the golf course or the country club or breakfast somewhere and just starts, you know, shouting at you. By the end of that week, both Jake and Rebecca were arrested, not for child endangerment, not for neglect, for murder. Prosecutors believe Emmanuel Haro wasn't kidnapped. He died in the home, in his crib, in the care of two people who were supposed to protect him. They allege the abuse wasn't a one-time outburst. It was sustained, ongoing. They believe he endured what his half-sister did endure years earlier, only this time it was fatal. The baby's body, as of this recording, has not yet been found. Maybe you should go out there and do a little digging in the woods, Judge Dwight Moore. Do your part to help find the baby that you helped enable a murderer to take the life of. This wasn't a case of missed warning signs. It was a case of ignored ones, a matter of deliberate choices by people in power who should have known better, Judge Dwight Moore. The same judge who let Jake Haro walk free after permanently injuring his daughter did so in the name of giving him a chance. Judge Moore said in court that the sentence was meant to be a deterrent, that the threat of prison would be enough to keep Haro in line. Yeah, because all the other threats and, you know, consequences sure kept him in line so far. But guess what? Threats don't protect babies from monsters. You're supposed to do that, Judge Dwight Moore. Action does. Action you didn't take, Judge Dwight Moore. And after Haro violated the terms of his probation, caught illegally possessing a firearm, he remained free. The justice system moved in its usual glacial pace. The gun charge was pending. Haro was still out, still parenting. What's especially galling is how official records described him during this time. His probation progress reports, they were glowing. His parenting class evaluations, supposedly good. He was labeled low risk to children just months before Emmanuel's death. He knew how to say what people wanted to hear, how to perform good fatherhood just well enough to pass when not actually having to be a father to an actual human being. And the system rewarded that performance. Let's call it what it is, a catastrophic failure of risk assessment. Programs like parenting classes, I guess in theory, can be important tools, but they can't be the only line of defense between a child and a known abuser. The people who assessed Jake Haro failed to take into account his history, his capacity for manipulation, and the fundamental truth that someone capable of harming an infant in the past should not be trusted with another. It's tempting to frame the story as a failure of one judge. Well, it is. It really is a big chunk of that. Or one counselor, or one decision. But it isn't just that simple. But guess what? The buck does stop somewhere. And when you're the judge, it bucks you. This is a reflection of a larger problem. Our system, legal, therapeutic, social, are often designed around the idea of redemption, of rehabilitation. Of giving people that second chance of rehabilitation. Because we all like a comeback story. And in many cases, here's what we see. Not everybody changes, especially ones that are capable of doing stuff like this. There ain't no coming back from maiming your daughter to the point that she's never going to live a normal life. Once you check that box and you've done that, I'm sorry, there are no second chances. There's no rehabilitation. There's no comeback story. There's you and a maimed child. And if think if a lot of us had our way, a bunch of angry villagers with stones and weapons that will take you out. But we don't live in a society like that. When it comes to the safety of children, these chances of giving someone a second chance come at a cost too high, and no one should be given the second chance after we know what Jake Haro did to his first daughter. The very idea that Jay Caro was allowed to create a new family, to hold his newborn son, to be in a position of control after what he'd already done is maddening. They should have castrated him the moment they arrested him the first time. I know we don't do that either. Maybe we should. It should have been unthinkable, but to the system, it was routine. Maybe that's the most damning part of all this. Nothing about this case happened in the shadows. It happened right out in the open, on paper, on court records, in hospital reports, in probation logs. It happened the way the system's designed to function. The judge made a decision he was allowed to make. He did not technically do anything illegal or wrong in the eyes of the law. He made a horrible, horrible choice. Not an illegal one, though. And a choice that comes with zero consequences either. You're a judge and you make this call and this happens the way it did, there's not even a slap on the wrist. So what there is, though, public shaming, that does exist. That's why we're here. Every piece of the puzzle was there for anyone to see, and no one put it together fast enough to save Emmanuel. In the aftermath of his arrest, Jake gave a jailhouse interview. He denied everything, said there was no long-term abuse, said his wife was innocent, said the first baby's injuries were just a terrible accident, that he dropped her in a bathroom and hit the divider. That story has already been told and discredited. The medical evidence didn't support it then, and it doesn't now. The time for excuses was over. Jake Caro isn't in jail today because of a tragic misunderstanding. He's there because a system built to protect children bent over backwards to believe in his rehabilitation instead of reckoning with the reality of who he was. And that system and that judge has blood on its hands. This case is about more than one father, more than one judge, more than one failure. It's about how quickly we look away when the danger isn't staring us in the face. How often the public shrugs off those stories until the headline is so awful we can't ignore it. But by then, the damage is done. The truth is, babies like Emmanuel are invisible to most people until their names show up on a police report, until pictures flash on the news next to the date of birth and the date of death, until it's too late to intervene, too late to care. And the people who could have saved them often, they're the ones who've had every chance to do so and didn't. It's not a call for just justice in this case. It's a warning shot that our willingness to gamble with the lives of children, to believe in abusers over the victims too young to speak for themselves, isn't just naive, it's fatal. Jake Caro had a second chance. Emmanuel didn't even get a first. This guy is retired. Living the retired life. Good. Good. Well, now everybody knows about one of the final decisions you made while you were a judge. And you can live with it. Just like Jay Caro's first daughter gets to live with all those injuries for the rest of her life. You get to live in the shame of knowing that the decision to let Jake Caro free resulted in the death of another child that was so easily avoidable. So easily avoidable. If that's your dad, your grandpa, your uncle, whatever, I feel bad for you. Going to be some interesting conversations over the holidays, aren't there? Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. And press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage in this and the many cases we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast. And True Crime Today. I made it through that one. Just barely.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.